leading freshman sire, Mosler by Warfront, as well as Divining Rod, Frisian Fire, and Super 99. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the Foaling Barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to win.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 384643.
At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three. On this Monday, and after a really fun hour with Rich Migliori, where we covered, let's see. We got some racing in. We did the last third. We were able to get some racing in, but got an opportunity, got a window to get a visit in with Joe Bianca from TDN, and Joe has crafted a new show. I mean, he's already got the TDN Writers Room, which has become, you know, just a great weekly opportunity. We could talk about that too, Joe, but the Better Things idea is a terrific addition, and there's no doubt that the growth of the internet conversation for horse racing fans and bettors, the most important thing that has come out of it, Joe, is the discussion about ticket building and spending more time, equal time, handicapping, and then thinking about how to bet. So these kinds of conversations are invaluable, and welcome, and good morning.
Morning, Steve. Good to talk to you, man, as always.
Well, I told everybody when you did the one, it's probably, what, about 3 weeks ago now, maybe four, with David Aragona, I said, yeah, you know, Joe's got a good concept here, and these kinds of conversations, and you yourself, frankly, can riff about, you know, ticket structure and bet philosophy, you know, without the help of guests. But this is going to be a welcome addition to the podcasting landscape, which you know, is enormous.
I appreciate that. It's definitely growing. I mean, it just feels like there's a new racing podcast every week or every month or so, and Yeah, it's just, it's basically a conversation show where we let it be a little bit free flowing, and you know, we talk a little handicapping, but we also get to know the people who are on. Randy Moss on this week, who's just great. Love Randy on TV, and he's a really fascinating guy because he's done all sorts of stuff. He works for NFL Network. He just covered the Olympics. So yeah, we talked about the Moss pace figures. We talked to, like you said, we talked about ticket structure. So it's a lot of fun. You know, there's so many fascinating people, as you know, in this industry, and it's great to get to know them better and get to pick their brains a little bit, because, you know, there's an endless supply of stories and interesting people in horse racing.
Well, no doubt. And Randy, you know, right from his origins in Hot Springs, and you know, his work with Bayer, and he's affable, and you're right, everybody, you know, enjoys him, whatever he's doing.
Definitely.
And of course, the same is true of you. Everyone enjoys whatever Joe is doing. Talk a little bit about this, about the concept, and you know, you obviously have got this big universe of people to choose from, and you know, so you want interesting people that have backstories, but I suppose there's also room for just having, you know, pure, highly focused, you know, conversations about the handicapping method and then distilling the handicapping into play.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I feel like our stories are a little bit different in horse racing and how we got to be horse players and bettors, and, you know, obviously with varying levels of success. And it's just, I'm interested in those people who kind of have thought of things a new way in racing and betting. And I think that Randy's one of those people, like I said, with the Moss pace figures. It's something that, you know, he was doing for years and years before he even hooked up with Andy Beyer, and it started getting printed in the DRF. And like, same thing with David Arrigona in the first episode. You know, he started as a horse racing blogger. So he kind of made it the hard way into this business, where he just would give out picks on his blog site, and, you know, with no guarantee that anybody was even, you know, watching or reading. And he kind of naturally became known as for having a good opinion, and that blossomed into him being the morning line maker for Naira. Now he's a podcast host and a figure maker too. So I don't know, I'm really interested in those people who have, like, who've kind of found their own lane in the business and in the handicapping sphere specifically, because, you know, there's so many horse players, there's so many talking heads, but, you know, I really find it interesting, those people who have managed to find a new way to look at betting the horses. And it's, you know, it's something that we need in this business, because, you know, it can get stale saying the same things and, you know, talking the same way about racing forever. So it's really interesting to me that people have found new ways to look at it.
What other, you probably have got either a wish list or, you know, or a hit list, target list, that, you know, of names you could dabble, you could send out a few, you know, send out a few lines into the pond here and let some people know that you've been trying to reach them.
I don't have a hit list. I'm not Will Smith. But
hey now.
Topical. You know, it's Andy Beyer would obviously be a big one. Jerry Brown, you'll find at Thoroughgraph is obviously a really smart guy who I talked to. Maybe, you know, handicapping contest players as well, you know, successful handicapping contest players. So it's in the infancy, it's still in its early stages, but yeah, those are some of the people I have my eye on for future episodes.
Nice. And Jerry is notoriously difficult to not just you know, not just in person, but to pin down. I mean, to get him to talk, and once, it's funny, once you get him to talk and start the conversation, he's invariably fabulous. But he's so, I mean, I've asked him when it comes to Saratoga during the summers, I've asked him 1,000 times to come on TV. I think he's come on once. You know, I finally got him recently. Well, he's always willing to talk Lasix. That might be the way to start it out. Talking about Lasix, and that'll disarm him.
I'll change the episode title to Lasix things just for that episode, and then trick him and get him back on.
Exactly. Well, because he's, you know, he's people are not talking about it as often right this minute. But right. The off again, on again situation is, you know, you want to talk about frustrations for bettors.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's a formula. But no, there's you know, one thing that's amazing is how many people are out there. I mean, there's the ones we know, and certain players have, you know, come to light in recent years, and you know, that were in a lot of cases known to be prominent players, but were not, you know, personalities that were out in the public eye. I mean, the most apparent of that, and I think the best example of that is Paul Matisse. Because, you know, everybody knew about Chick and Paul and Duke, and, you know, they were familiar, but they weren't public. And the, you know, Paul's run and winning the NHC, you know, kind of changed that, and brought him out into the public eye. But there are so many people, Joey, that are putting huge, you know, seven figure players that no one knows.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that to me is fascinating too. That, you know, obviously a lot of those people don't necessarily want to talk. They'd rather prefer to stay anonymous. But yeah, you just think about, you know, how much money is bet on this sport. And last year we topped $12 billion in handle for the first time since 2009. It's like, that money's got to be coming from somewhere. It's not just the TV handicappers, and yeah, you know, it's really interesting to think of all of the different people who are out there playing the horses in a big way that you might never have even heard of or thought of. That to me is really interesting too, and that's kind of the path I'm trying to go down on this show. You know, it's obviously you want to have some bigger names to attract viewers and everything, but I just want to talk to fascinating people. You know, they don't necessarily have to be a famous horse racing handicapper. You know, if anybody wants to come on and talk shop with me, I'm always down to talk to anybody interesting in this business.
Well, this is productive, and it's fresh. You know, the hearing how, you know, successful players approach the game, it's the part that has been, you know, underappreciated, and it's just because things move so fast, and you know, here we just had, I'll give you an example, and we can actually morph this into some thoughts that you know, where you stand right now, just watching the 3-year-olds. You know, I think we hit a little bit of critical mass here the last this past weekend, because here's a horse in Epicenter. Everybody is wondering, well, these 3-year-olds seem a little slow. Okay, well, now we've got one that just ran a 102, and he did it going 9.5 furlongs. So suddenly we're not so slow. You know, then we'll see about Forbidden Kingdom, etc. But you know, the 3-year-old scene, I mean, we had this weekend, and there ended up being plenty of prices on that Fairgrounds car. Jay Pribman's going to do a recap here in a little bit, but we are already looking at the Arkansas Derby card that was drawn yesterday. I mean, you barely have time on a regular basis, Joe, to, you know, really dissect what happened and where the opportunities were and what the decision making process, the multi race decisions. I mean, I mentioned in my opening this morning, you know, it ended up being those two turf races versus the three dirt races. We had Olympiad, Echo Zulu, and Epicenter, and yet you had two nice prices in the turf races that would have made the pick five and the pick four playable.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like, at least for me, Olympiad was a free square. I thought Echo Zulu was a tiny bit vulnerable coming off the layoff, but she, I mean, that was so impressive from her, for me, at least, just because, you know, she really got tested, and she really got eyeballed by Hidden Connection. It was a nice filly. Remember the race she ran last year in the Pocahontas, that monster race, and she's kind of, I think, rounding back into that form. So that was even more impressive to me than any of the wins as a 2-year-old, where she kind of just got loose and never got hooked. So yeah, it's especially at Fairgrounds, I feel like they do a really good job on these stakes cards. They usually have really big fields. So there's always opportunities, and fairgrounds also somehow always happens to have like 15 or 16 races on these Saturday cards. So there's plenty of options for you to dive into these fields. And yeah, it was a great day of racing. And I'm sure this Saturday at Oakland is going to be a great day of racing too. But you're right in that, you know, we especially during Derby season, it gets so fast paced, and it just snowballs so much as we head into the Derby that, you know, you don't really get time to talk about yep. these races quite as much as you would like to. You know, it's the opposite in the dead of winter. It's like there's nothing going on. You end up doing 20 minutes on the Gravesend, but like during the spring, it really is action packed, and you don't get to break these races down quite as much as you'd like to.
Well, and you're not going to go back and chew, you know, too heavily on races like that Crescent City Derby and Oaks, where you ended mm-hmm. up, you know, you ended up with surprises. And I went back and looked yesterday, waiting for the figs to come out. And, I looked at not so much, for instance, Cosmic Train, for instance, yeah. For Jerry, and congratulations to the Delhomes. We got to meet for the first time at Risen Star Week. That was a horse that had been running consistent, you know, really had a nice series of consistent performances, but was going to have to take a step forward to beat, you know, more memories seemed like, you know, I won't say a free square here, but there was a lot to like about more memories, and the fact that Amos, as we had heard from Frank McGoey, the fact that Amos reached to get Rosario on board more memories. So anyway, here's Cosmic Train, who absolutely, James Graham, a tremendous ride, and
great ride.
Yeah, and is able to, you know, photograph more memories, and that was a horse that if you went back, you said, you know what, this was a horse that maybe could have been a C on the multi-race tickets. The other one, that Dreaming of Neary, was not that one was a little tougher for me to
yeah.
Nini.
No, I agree. I didn't have her. I did like Cosmic Train a little bit. This was just like a very basic handicapping thing where I saw a horse that had made up 19 lengths in a quarter mile in a dirt race. And I was like, he's got to have some kind of kick. You know,
yeah.
It's like, you know, obviously the pace fell apart in one of those races, but if you make up 19 lengths in a quarter mile on the dirt, you definitely got a little bit of a punch. So that alone made me toss them there.
Good job. That Dreaming of Nini had just won an allowance race for Sam David. And, you know, Sam David's had a very consistent, nice meet. I guess there was, you know, there was something there. It's funny. Dreaming of Nini was 9-1 and was 12-1. On Cosmic Train, but I thought Dreaming of Nini was the harder horse to have.
I agree. Yep, totally.
Well, then how about
was the one that screwed me up, because I did like that Joe Sharp horse too a little bit in that turf race right before the Crescent City Derby, but I couldn't have the first leg. I only had the last two.
Well, and certainly happy for the connections. I know Keith Hernandez and that team, and happy for them. This is a homebred of theirs, a Distorted Humor filly, Marcelino mm-hmm. Pedroza aboard. How about the two longest shots on the board, second and third in here, a 63-1 and a 70-1?
Yep. Crazy things can happen at fairgrounds. I've noticed that a lot, as, you know, like I said, because when you have those big cars and those big fields, I just think, you know, it's more likely that a horse is going to get lost or two.
Well, between Gulfstream on Saturday and Arkansas, which is already, you know, already ready to go, and for people to start perusing those fields, plenty to digest and look forward to. Who's, before we go, Joe, who, you know, obviously Epicenter, I think we're all exceedingly impressed with, but who else are you tracking that's got some affection for?
Well, I mean, this is a basic answer, obvious answer, but how about Secret Oath? And, you know, as a Thoroughgraph guy, you know this, but her figures are right there.
Oh, yeah.
With the top 3-year-old colts. Like, if you look at the buyer figure, she's not quite there. It's like she ran like a 92 or something in the Honeybee. But if you look at the sheet numbers, she's right there. So you got to love Dwayne Lucas taking a shot. That's always been his MO, not afraid to do things out of the box and run his horses. And you know, I love the quote that you know, we're going to the Oaks no matter what. It's like, okay, if she wins the Arkansas Derby by 7-8 legs, there's no way in hell you are not going to the Kentucky Derby with that filly. So, and this, I was a big Arrogate fan, and I felt like he got off to a little bit of a slow start as a stallion, and now his horses start starting to come around as they turn into 3-year-olds. And so, yeah, she's the story of the Triple Crown season. Not that there aren't other good stories, but I think that all eyeballs will be on her on Saturday. And, you know, it's always fun when you have a trainer try something out of the box. And, you know, it's just, we live in a world where trainers run their horses 4 or 5 times a year in basically hand-picked spots. You get 4 or 5 horse fields sometimes in grade ones. It's just awesome to see, you know, a filly take on the boys in the Arkansas Derby this early in the season. And yeah, it makes for a really fascinating day of races, because also now the fantasy is a much better betting race too without her.
That's a good point.
So I think in both ways there, really, it actually enhanced both of those races on Saturday.
Well, enhance your listening lineup, your listening experience, probably about a monthly, Joe, you think, every 4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. And once we start rolling, maybe a little bit quicker, maybe every 3 to 4 weeks. But yeah, definitely monthly or slightly less than that.
Well, it's Better Things with an O, Better Things with Joe Bianca. And of course, weekly, midweek, you've also got the TDN Writers Room. Who's lined up for this week?
Oh, we got Jamie Roth from LNJ Foxwoods. Talk a little bit about Olympia, so that'll be fun.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, and last week, who'd you have last week? I forget.
Gary Stevens.
Gary Stevens. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Always rip from today's headlines and topical, and with Bill Finley and with John Green and a guest that everybody will know, and if they don't know, they'll know after they watch and listen.
That's right,
Joe. I'm glad we caught up. I'll talk.
Yeah,
we'll certainly talk before Derby and stuff. All right.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Not at all, Joe Bianca. Everybody, and one of my absolute favorite people in and around the game, who I've known since he was basically a teenager, and we had him. He broke free. He was emancipated from the slave bacue, and he managed to break out from his day at Carolina Barbecue. And
he's a bird.
Exactly. Joey, thanks, buddy. Joe Bianca, so much fun. Jay Bridman's going to join us, and as we reach for Jay, who's... I'm anxious to hear how Jay made the drive from New Orleans, like I did, from New Orleans to Hot Springs. And the I know that he made the trip because he had mentioned that he had gotten instructions on Friday from a number of people about the best way to get to Hot Springs. But he's there now. Jay, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
I'm tremendous. Did you do what I did? Did you drive New Orleans to Hot Springs?
I did.
Nice, huh? Which way did you go?
mostly interstate, because by the time I was able to leave New Orleans, it was afternoon, and I didn't be driving on unfamiliar roads after dark.
So. I hear you. Well, we're going to obviously end of the week. We'll have both Florida Derby and Arkansas Derby to talk to, and I will get you. I'm sure you'll hint at some of the things that you've already heard in Hot Springs. But first of all, let's recap the very impressive Louisiana Derby win by Epicenter.
Yeah, no, it was everything I think you'd want in terms of winning. Getting some schooling and some experience out of it by sitting behind a couple other horses, as opposed to being on or pressing the lead like he had done previously. I mean, he ended up with a great trip as a result, but still, it was nice to be able to show that dimension, and to have his buyer figures increase, and also to win it a mile and 3/16, as only 110 yards short of the Derby distance. I think the winner could not, other than that narrow loss to Call Me Midnight in the LeCompte, it was a perfect winter for him at Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
He got everything out of it. He progressed with every race and finished it off with his best performance yet. So it was a good winter capped off by a strong race on Saturday.
That dimension, I mean, that was the thing that I'm sure anybody that's already latched on to him as their Derby horse, seeing that, that only has to bolster your confidence. And I had Steve Asmussen early this morning, and he's aglow. I don't think there's any other way to describe it.
Right. I mean, but I always lack when you or others say, oh, the trainer really liked his rep. I mean, what would you expect?
Well,
exactly a newsflash. Trainer or jockey likes his horse that just won a race. But
of course not. But
the news would be like, you know, Steve doesn't like the horse. Oh, now we have news for you. Steve likes his horse who just ran a 102 buyer and went 3 for 4 and then got beat a nose in the LeComp. Not exactly above the fold 72 point time.
Well, he,
but still,
the thing about it that I think some people, we anticipated the idea that this, you know, this change in the configuration of the run through the Louisiana Derby and making it 1 3/16 and, you know, and basically changing, you know, the dynamic a little bit. And Steve really stressed how beneficial it's been to, you know, to his development, these four races that he participated in, as you alluded to.
And all of us, and the progression of the distances,
yes,
with the Risen Star now being 1 1/8 as opposed to its previous 1 1/16, and the Derby now being 1 3/16 as opposed to its previous 1 1/8, and races that are spaced well and offer plenty of spacing from the last run, the last race to the Kentucky Derby. It's really a great series, and as you know trainers love training over that surface down there too.
Yeah.
So it's really a terrific place to get your horse through the winter.
Right. And there, you know, there had been for an extended period really where the Oaks was the best trail to success in the Kentucky Oaks, but for whatever reason the Louisiana Derby path had not, you know, followed suit, essentially. War of Will, you know, won a Preakness. But we'll see if this, you know, kind of tips the scales. Let's go through your chart the way you do the analysis. And Zozos did feel like the fresh face, Jay, and he got bet like, not only was he a fresh face, he got bet like a serious win candidate.
Well, I mean, like we talked on your show on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the line was bad. You know, there was no chance Pioneer of Medina was going to be the second choice. It was just, you know, Mike Diliberto does a good job, and he just missed on that line. And you know, we knew that Zozos was going to be the second choice. So it wasn't surprising that he got bet down, because you know, it was 2 for 2. It's Brad Cox, and it was a poor line. And whenever you see a poor line, those horses they're going to get bet. You know, people look at that like Zozos is 8 to 1, even though, you know, if you do your own, I said on your show on Fridays,
yep.
Make your own line, because the line that there is, I mean, you should make your own line anyway. But in that race specifically, the closing prices were not going to be anything close to what the morning line was. It was just a rare miss on his part.
Fair enough. And I was surprised that Pioneer of Medina floated up to what he went off, and he did not run badly.
No, he ran well, but the first three across the line were the first three throughout the race. It was,
yes,
even though the fractions were solid, nobody really made up any ground in the race. And you know, that's something that I think, if you want to pick apart Epicenter or Zozos or even Pioneer Medina, you could pick it apart a little bit from that standpoint. But there's a lot to like about the races too. I just think with Pioneer Medina, he's just not quite as good as these top two. He's had good trips in both the Risen Star and this race. He's a nice horse, but he's just a cut below those two right now. You know, we talked about the progression Epicenter made, and he's taken a forward move on the buyers in every race, and you were mentioning Zozo, so you ran well. It's only his third start in a stakes debut, and going up against a horse who's probably, as of today, before we run the Arkansas Derby and the Florida Derby and the Bluegrass and the Santa Anita Derby, as of today, is probably the favorite for the race.
I've got that same feeling too, coming out of the weekend. It's going to take somebody, really muscling up an effort to supplant that in the mind's eye. Zozos will go to, come back to Churchill potentially with only his fourth start. Pioneer of Medina's gets 20, is up to 25 points with that placement, which is, Jay, what do you think? That's going to be just about the cut line, isn't it?
It often is. It just depends on what happens in these last few races, because if the same horses who have earned points already continue to earn points,
right,
then you've got a lower threshold for getting in. If you have a whole bunch of completely new faces winning 100 points for first and 40 for second, that makes, you've got more names above the 25-point line. So it just depends on what happens in these races as to whether 25 is going to make it or not.
Well, and on that point, you talked to Keith DeSormo about the outcome for Call Me Midnight, and what for those that didn't get a chance to see what you said and wrote, what's his prospect?
Yeah, so I caught up with several of the trainers who were around after the race, just to do a follow-up yesterday morning. And Keith, specific to your question, said that he's going to just see how Call Me Midnight trains, that there's a chance that they'd run him back in the Lexington. He was fresh, obviously, for the race the other day because they had skipped the Risen Star. So to run him back again, should be within his reach. But he's light on points. And so the Lexington, being the last of the point scoring races and 20 to the winner, might be an appealing prospect for him if they want to try and make the Derby, and if they think he's going to need more points in order to do so, which they probably will need more points because of where he's at the moment.
And Rattle and Roll, I guess, made a little bit of ground up and ended up filling out the Super. And McPeak, who still, of course, has Smile Happy and a couple of others being considered around. Any McPeak reaction?
Yeah, he said that he's not going to jam him back in the Lexington, that if he can get in with the points that he's got now, which is 20, 10 for the Breeders' Futurity win and 10 for running fourth the other day, that then they'd consider running in the Derby. And if he gets in, great, but if not, they would just point to the Preakness. But he's not going to jam him back in the Lexington to try and get more points just to be able to run in the Derby. He's just going to let it play out and see how it shakes out. And look, Smile Happy right now, I mean, if somebody said you can only have one in the Derby, who do you want? You would obviously choose Smile Happy. He's just farther along. And he looks like he's made progress from 2 to 3, where I still think it's an open question on whether Rattle and Roll has moved forward from 2 to 3.
Smile Happy will head to the Bluegrass with 30 points. So essentially, he's probably right there anyway, but any placement in the top four would further cement that. And actually, speaking of McPeak and the Lexington, I've got Dash Attack on my list.
Yes.
From prospecting going forward. Well, Jay, beyond that, and you referenced Echo Zool a little bit, Saturday looked like it was a wonderful day at Fairgrounds.
Yeah, the weather was ideal. The racing was terrific. We saw some fun, exciting racing and some good performances. Obviously, the Oaks was a thrilling race with Echo Zool holding off Hidden Connection, and be nice to see those two hook up again in the Kentucky Oaks. Echo Zool, she might have needed the race, and she still gutted it out and won. But you know, it'll be a question as to she moves forward off of that. Fortunately, she's got plenty of time. She's got 6 weeks now to be ready for the next race, and we'll see if anybody comes along in the interim that with a performance that makes you go, this is going to be you know, more than a two-horse race. But those two certainly, it was nice. It was nice to see Hidden Connection bounce back and run well after disappointing in her earlier race. And then obviously the race by Olympiad, as we were talking on the show the other day with a really nice group of older horses that Mott has, Olympiad continued that that theme. I thought he won well, but Proxy made a nice run at him and gave him a little scare, and then Olympiad came away from him and won his best. And then Hugh Robertson got the money with two Emmys leading from start to finish in the Muniz, and it was really funny in the winner's circle after the race when Bill Mott came in, and it was kind of just an impromptu thing, and started came to congratulate him, and they started reminiscing about their time starting out, you know, 45 years ago or more in Nebraska. On the fair circuit in Nebraska, and rooming together and staying in, you know, stalls that were used during the fairs for the pigs, as Mott pointed out, you know. The pigs weren't there now. They had cleaned the stalls, and so they've come a long ways. Those two,
I'd say. No, that was a great and Chris Block's win too. That She Can't Sing came back and ran another good race.
Yeah, he said he just kind of ran her in the previous race, the out of just sort of desperation, because he just was like, I can't keep running against Change of Control and LZ sprinting here. I'm never going to beat him, so I might as well try her back around two turns again. And she won so well. I was like, well, I guess we'll stick with this. And so she won two straight to close out the season, and she'll go on. You know, she won't run at Keeneland, but probably look at something for Churchill for her. She'll be based at Hawthorne now. You know, because of the Arlington situation, which is, you know, impacted him. It was kind of ironic. I mean, both Block and Robertson,
right.
they'd both be headed back to Arlington.
Exactly.
In normal times.
Well, a terrific
previous times.
Exactly. Terrific end to the season at Fairgrounds. They closed it out yesterday with a big card, and including the Cortez and the tribute race for Chantal Lannery, and a Star Guitar won the Star Guitar as Mrs. Evelyn. Mrs. Evelyn with a very, very big meet. She was the winning owner, and that was a really nice flourish. Meanwhile, yesterday as well, Doug O'Neill is just back from a trip abroad, and we'll talk to Doug tomorrow about his win with Slow Down Andy. Yesterday at Sunland, and the only point gatherer, Jay, that is Derby nominated. So now with 60 points. So Doug O'Neill with at least one already in the Derby field.
Yes, and I'm sure he'll be headed on to Kentucky. We'll be Slow Down Andy. And, you know, the second nomination deadline is today, so I would think later this week we'll get a handful of new names that'll be nominated to the Triple Crown.
Usually, you know, 8 to 12 will slip in. A quick rundown, and Jay and Marty will have, of course, Derby Watch for you midweek. Epicenter, apparently Crown Pride from Japan. Classic Causeway, Slow Down Andy, Un Ojo, who runs back this weekend. Simplification back as well. Forbidden Kingdom, Morello, Zozos, Smile Happy, Pioneer of Medina. Those are the 25 points and up.
Right, that's not necessarily who all is going to be on our Derby Watch list, but yes, from a points list standpoint, those are the top point earners at the moment.
11 of them, and Jay, they drew the Arkansas Derby field, and it's a nice group of nine, and of course, Florida Derby card comes together on Wednesday.
Yes, so it'll be a big week, and the Jeff Ruby as well.
Oh, that's right. I'm remiss. Forgot about the Jeff Ruby, which will be which will be drawn. Do they draw early? Because no, they draw Wednesday too. Any early missives or smoke signals out of the backstretch at Oaklawn this morning?
I just made a quick 2-hour barn tour this morning. You know, saw a few people that, you know, like Rudolph Brissett. I'll have something on We the People later in the week, and a couple other people I wanted to see weren't around. So I just, and then I had so much to do. I came back here to the hotel because I'm just got stuff to do. The one little nugget that I got was that, you know, Call Me Jamal was going to be in the race, but he came out of his work yesterday a little dinged up, and that's why they ended up not entering him. So I'll have a little news nugget on that on the Racing Form website a little bit later. And Chasing Time Breeze this morning for the race, that's Asmussen's representative this week. But we'll have plenty of coverage between myself and Mary all week long on the race. And races, I mean, they've got 4 stakes on Saturday and another on that they push back to Sunday.
Nice. Well, the carousel, and I brought up Joy's Rocket with Steve, and the Oaklawn Mile as well, which...
That race came up really good.
Yeah. Yep. And that includes some West Coast Invaders. Michael W. McCarthy will be with us tomorrow as well. I was going to get Michael, but now we'll save it for tomorrow. He's sending Law Professor in there, and
yes.
quite good. And who else did we talk to? Peter Ertin's got Dark Vader. Silver Prospector, I brought up with Steve as well, coming out of
right. The
near miss in the mine shaft. Roadster, Folsom, Necker Island, and everything Chris Hartman sends has got to be looked at under a microscope as well. And then the fantasy. So very good.
And Cezanne's in that race too.
Oh yeah, Cezanne up at the top. Sorry, top of page two. I didn't see him stuck in there.
It's a good race.
Coming out of the 7/8 win in the San Carlos. Yeah, and for those that did not see the draw on the Arkansas Derby, let's give them a quick glance as well, Jay. KVOD for Chris Hartman and Chasing Time, the two. Barber Road for back again for John Ortiz. Doppelganger under Tim Yakteen's eye. Unoho, the New York bred, the wonderful story for Ricky Corville. Secret Oath, the filly that has put a big charge into this whole storyline. Ben Diesel for Dallas Stewart. Cyberknife, and a big opportunity for Al Gold and Brad Cox. And We the People, the Brissette 2-for-2 player from Windstar. It's a nice field. Nothing wrong with that field.
Yeah, definitely a nice race, and looking forward to it.
Jay, we will talk Friday.
Sounds good.
All right, and the Florida Derby, which looks like it's going to have maybe 10, 11, the way it's shaping up. I'm looking forward. Jay, we'll talk on Friday. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Jay Privman, everybody. DRF Privman on your Twitter machine. I don't think there's enough time. There's not enough time. There's only 4 minutes. So I don't want to rush Michael W. McCarthy, because we're going to talk to him about the Santa Ana win. Queen Goddess, the Empire Maker, with Victor Espinoza on Saturday. So we'll do that. And obviously, you know, there's, as mentioned, he's got this opportunity as well in the Oaklawn Mile with Dark Vader. No, that's Yurtens is Dark Vader. Law Professor is McCarthy. All right. In that case, let me get you a couple of other pieces of result news. All right. Yeah. To wrap up, we mentioned with Rich the starter. The Sam Houston. How about the Sam Houston? That action was largely formful, the Texas Champions card. And that included Lethal Move, J.R. Caldwell, in the Richard King. That was the first stake, and that was actually the best price of the night in terms of the stakes, 9-1 for Lethal Move, a street move gelding, 7-year-old under Stewie Elliott. That got the stakes action going in the Texas Champions. Mr. Moneybags, as expected, for Roy and Irma Cobb. The Silver City 6-year-old at 1-20. we don't get the 1-20s like we used to. Mr. Moneybags. He doesn't win every time, but he looked imposing in here. He did have a 31-1 shot that KC Tismoro ended up second in here for Caldwell. But Jalen Clary training for Mr. Moneybags, who's now 6. That was what, win number 15? 13. Win number 13 in 26 starts. In the Groovy, that was, of course, the Spirit of Texas. In the Groovy, the 6-furlong 3-year-old group, Lucky's Special at 4-5. Wesley Hamilton for Michael Whitelaw and owner Victoria Heine. She also bred this one out of the Lucky Lionel mare, Maybe Lucky. Lucky's Special wins the Groovy. The San Jacinto, the Turf, Fillies and Mares, and No Mas Tequila at 1-5. The Northern Fleet, 5-year-old mare. The Estate of Ron Ellerby and James Sills. Karen Jack Strains and Goncalves Aboard, No Mas Tequila. In the San Jacinto, 240. I'm a Discreet Lady. And this was in the Yellow Rose. And Bernie went favored at 6-5, but got overwhelmed late after leading. And I'm a Discreet Lady, who was stalking under Rye Eichelberry for Broberg. Owners Dwayne Coker and Todd Raymond White. This was bred by Larry Hunsaker, Discreet Cat, 6-year-old. I'm a Discreet Lady, 820. And I saw that from Trey Stiles that Broberg was one of the two. There were two, you know, they had the handicapping contest, and Broberg won one of the seats. So he'll be back in Vegas again. For NHC. Tolanda won the Barrel Ass. Also, Eichelberry for Austin Gustafson. Owner David Davis, who bred this bind 3-year-old filly. And in the Star of Texas, which in a lot of ways was the most interesting, this felt like the, you know, the one we talked about the most, Nick and myself and Trey. Gold Pilot at 3-1. And Kenai Bob, you know, kind of mildly mid-pack and made a mild move, but and actually went favored, Kenai Bob. So 3-1 on Gold Pilot. Algebra, who Trey liked, went off at 7-2 for Caldwell. But Brett Calhoun for longtime owners Hirsch and Sanders, and this one was bred by the Ellerbys, Ron and Margaret. So the late Ron Ellerby actually. Two winners on the night that he bred. This is a My Golden Song 5-year-old. Gold Pilot with Alvarez. So there it is. There's your Texas Champions night. And we'll catch up with Trey later in the week. And then Nick on Friday. Well, there we go. We got a lot done. We still have the rest of the Sunland action to do. There was the stakes, at, a couple of stakes at Gulfstream to talk about and more. So we'll get the rest of it in tomorrow, all right? If you're playing today, good luck. Back with you tomorrow, 9 o'clock. If you missed anything, archive, podcast. Thanks to Steve Asmussen and Dylan Davis, Mig, Joe Bianca, and Jay Pritchett with the Louisiana Derby Recast. Thanks, everybody. Good luck today. Talk to you in the morning.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Nationally recognized for making stallions since 1933 and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading freshman sire, Mosler by Warfront, as well as Divining Rod, Frisian Fire, and Super 99. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to...
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.